The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is John Ivey for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Sports Illustrated for Kids. For the next half hour, I'll be reading to you from the January issue of Sports Illustrated for Kids. And we find on the front cover, Detroit's own Dylan Larkin has hockey down, believing anything is possible. It shows him as almost as a cartoon character, a superhero on ice with a hockey stick. But let's find out what the lineup for January, February 2022. Once again, on the cover, Hometown Heroes, number 34, page 34. There's no place like home. To be a dominant athlete, here are some stars who have become local heroes and a few villains as well. Motor City down at the bottom of the page. Mojo, Dylan Larkin grew up near Detroit, played in college at Michigan, and is now captain of the Red Wings. Sounds like a dream come true. And some of our faves, Freeze Frame, page 2, Sports Cards, page 7, Hot Take, page 9, Birthdays, page 11, Posters, page 27, The Treehouse, page 31, What's the Call, page 52, Games, on page 53, Art Gallery, page 54, and Buzz Beamer, page 56. On page 18, one of our featured articles, now that Negro League stats are officially recognized by Major League Baseball, here's some of the faces behind the numbers. Page 22, what if money were no object in sports? We'd have barnstorming hoopsters and a lot more highlight on TV. Forget burning questions. We've got the answer to some wintry inquiries ahead of the Beijing Winter Olympics. Find that on page 42. And on page 48, Scott Henderson dominated high school, got his diploma a year early, and is now wowing the pros in the G League. We're going to begin on page 2, Freeze Frame. We look like we're on the racetrack. Max Velocity, Freeze Frame. December 14th, 2021, Abu Dhabi, United Arab Emirates. Lewis Hamilton, front car with the blue trim, passed Max Verstappen, directly behind, with yellow and red trim, early on the first lap of the season-ending Grand Prix of Abu Dhabi. But Verstappen repaid the favor on the final lap, passing Hamilton to win the race and the series title. Verstappen became the first Dutch driver to be World Driver Champion. Continuing with Freeze Frame on pages 4 and 5, Ship Shapes, December 17, 2021, Sydney, Australia. Quick, how many boats do you see here? Well, one. I just see one. Well, there's just one. The host country's entry in the Australia Sail Grand Prix. It's sailing past the famed Sydney Opera House with its iconic sail-shaped shells. Try saying that three times fast. And to the left is a skyscraper whose silhouette mimics the boats. Moving on, Terrence the Turtle. Volunteer Sea Life spokes turtle for Recycle Across America. Hey kids, my name is Terrence and I have a problem. The ocean where my friends and family live is getting trashed because people are not careful with their recycling and garbage. Last month, my sister Tony ate a plastic bag that was floating in the water because she thought it was a jellyfish. She got so sick she couldn't eat any food. It was scary. I have other stories like that, but they make me sad, so I don't like telling them. But do you know what makes me happy? It makes me happy when people put their recycling and trash in the right place, so it doesn't end up in the oceans. With their standardized labels, my friends at Recycle Across America make it super simple to recycle right. The labels have pictures of everything that can go in the recycling bin. How easy is that? Will you please use the label found at www.recycleacrossamerica.org so you can recycle right, and ask your family and friends to use them, too. Let's put trash and recycling where it belongs, not in the oceans. Thanks for your help, kids. Your friend, Terrence. Who's who in sports? First line. Mackenzie Holmes, Indiana Hoosiers forward. Through 10 games, Holmes averaged 18.5 points per game as the Hoosiers got off to an 8-2 start. Against the number 20 Ohio State, Holmes had a career-high 30 points on 13 of 19 shooting. In that game, Holmes became the second fastest Indiana player to reach 1,000 career points, 69 games. Mackenzie, her height is 6'3". She was born November 1st, 2000, in her hometown, Gorham, Maine. But did you know Indiana is known as the Hoosier State, but no one is entirely sure why? The term dates to the 1830s and might derive from the phrase, who's here? Davante Adams, Green Bay Packers, wide receiver. His height is 6'1". His weight is 215 pounds. He was born December 24th, 1992, in his hometown, Palo Alto, California. Through 13 weeks, Adams had 80 receptions, sixth in the NFL, for 1,083 yards, third. In 2020, he led the league with 18 TD catches and 98.1 receiving yards per game. Adams was a second-round pick in 2014 out of Fresno State, where he caught a school-record 233 passes in just 2 years. But did you know Fresno State has an on-campus 120-acre vineyard and a commercial winery where students make wine that has won hundreds of awards? And finally, we have Abby Roque, United States forward. Roque made her United States national team debut in the 2019-2020 rivalry series against Canada, scoring a goal in each of her first two games. She was a member of the United States squad that won silver at the 2021 World Championship. As a junior, Roque helped lead Wisconsin to the 2019 NCAA National Championship. Abby is 5'7". She was born September 25th, 1997, in her hometown, Sault Ste. Marie, Michigan. Did you know, though, Roque is a member of the Wanipate First Nation? She hopes to become the first Native American woman to play for the United States in the Olympics. Moving on to warm-up. Hot take. Back-to-back. 2021 Stanley Cup champions. Double in paradise. The Lightning have begun an NHL dynasty fans won't soon forget. Down with parity. When you think of the great championship teams of all time, who comes to mind? The 1945 Toronto Maple Leafs, the 1978 Washington Bullets, the 2006 St. Louis Cardinals. Probably not. Sorry, Cardinal fans. History remembers the teams that earned cool nicknames. The 1927 Murderers Row, Yankees, the 1974-75 Broad Street Bullies, Flyers, the 1999 Greatest Show on Turf, Los Angeles Rams, the Dream Team, the Steel Curtain, the Russian Five, the Big Red Machine. Fans love to mythologize the dominant squads of the past. So why in the present are they so concerned with making sure no team becomes too good? Before Major League Baseball's December lockout stopped all league business, baseball owners went on a shopping spree, committing to a $1.4 billion in player salaries in 1 day. The Rangers gave a 10-year, $325 million deal to shortstop Corey Seager. The Mets signed Max Scherzer to a contract that will pay him more than $43 million per season. That deal pushed New York's estimated 2022 payroll beyond $235 million, more than that of the bottom five teams, Cleveland, Baltimore, Pittsburgh, Miami, and Arizona, combined. That deficit probably made supporters of those five franchises sympathetic to Major League Baseball's proposal this offseason to expand its playoff format to 14 teams. Adding four more wild cards, however, just increases the chance that another mediocre 83-win squad like those 2006 Cards will get hot and topple the teams that were consistently great over 162 games. I again apologize to our subscribers in St. Louis. League commissioners act like making teams more equal is an obviously good goal. After all, so many conventions of professional sports exist to the level playing field, drafts, luxury taxes, salary caps. But why? Parity is bad for business, bad for the growth of a sport, and ultimately bad for fans. The financial argument for a lopsided league is simple. Ask yourself, what is the ideal distribution of championships among franchises? In a perfect world, would the Larry O'Brien trophy get passed around in a circle by the 30 NBA teams, with each enjoying at least one victory lap before anyone won it again? That might satisfy the 11 franchises who have yet to plan a parade route. But that's probably not what the league wants, even if it never admitted it. Certain cities have bigger fan bases, and those fans spend more money and watch more games when times are good. It wouldn't be bad for the NBA if, for instance, the Knicks' first title since 1973 energized New York City. One could argue that preventing the Knicks from spending their way out of obscurity like their orange and blue baseball cousins in Queens has been good for expanding the game's popularity. New Yorkers will always watch basketball, but now the fan bases in Toronto and Milwaukee are stronger than ever. A wide-open NBA, however, has never really grown the game because it doesn't pique the interest of the casual viewer. Those seemingly unstoppable Golden State Warriors teams of a few years ago drew way more TV viewer to the NBA Finals than the Raptors or Bucks. And not even the Splash Brothers could approach the record-setting ratings of Michael Jordan's Bulls. It makes sense. If you're trying to convince someone to give a sport a chance, you show them the most gaudy clips of ankles getting broken or pitches getting crushed, not examples of equally matched competition. Still, fans don't want what's best for the league in the long run. They want hope that their hometown heroes can one day win that big game. Title runs, however, don't happen in a vacuum. The story of how a team prevailed is as important as the trophy. In a world of theoretical true parity, in which all professional teams are about even, nothing matters. Triumphing in any particular game, including a championship, feels more like a chance than destiny. Rooting for an underdog is fun, but impossible without a villainous favorite. After all, wouldn't you rather witness a few great teams than a handful of pretty good ones? Or watch a handful of classic flicks than endless average movies? Or read a single kid focused sports publication than a stack of magazines with lukewarm takes and inferior perforated trading cards? Mr. Steve Cohen, sir, if you'd like to do in the periodical space what you've done for the Mets, I will work for a lot less than Scherzer's $43 million. Just a healthy chocolate milk stipend and a year's supply of comic books, and I'm on board. Hey, get in touch. Continuing with warm-ups, LOL, fashion faux pas. We have arrived at Drexel on December 14th, expecting to see the Dragons host Coppin State. Can be forgiven if they thought they were witnessing an intra-squad scrimmage instead. Coppin State forgot to pack its jerseys, so the Eagles had to play in practice tops supplied by the home team, meaning every player was wearing Drexel gear. The real Dragons won 76-69. A similar thing happened to Division II Indiana University of Pennsylvania in 2019. The Hawks forgot their unis for a game against Edinburgh and had to borrow their opponent's road duds. Edinburgh had fun with it, tweeting, "There are two types of athletes, those who are fighting Scots and those who want to dress like fighting Scots." IUP got the last laugh, though, winning 87-59. It happens in the pros, too. On the cover of the May 8, 1978 issue of Sports Illustrated, Washington's Elvin Hayes is dunking as a player in a Bullets road uniform, is looking on, which is odd because the game was in Washington. It was actually Mike Gale of the Spurs whose luggage didn't make it to the arena. So Gale wore an inside-out Bullets jersey. And then there's Rose Holman Institute of Technology, which lost its gear en route to the Soviet Union for an exhibition in 1987. The fighting engineers had to play in borrowed T-shirts with numbers written in chalk, and only five players had packed shoes in their carry-ons, necessitating sharing. Said Coach John Muchner, "I substituted by shoe size." And how about some birthdays for January? January 7th, Baltimore Ravens quarterback Lamar Jackson turns 25 years old. January 9th, Toronto Blue Jays starting pitcher Alec Manoah celebrates his 24th birthday. January 18th, former World Tennis Association world number one Angelique Kerber is 34. January 21st, San Francisco Giants shortstop Brandon Crawford turns 35. Washington Wizards forward Montrezl Harrell is 28 years old. And so are the January birthdays. Continuing with warm-up, the grid. So we have Team USA forward Abby Roque, Team USA skier Jesse Diggins, Cleveland Brown defensive end Miles Garrett. So if you could have any superpower, what would it be? Abby says mind-reading. Jesse Diggins, flying. Miles Garrett, controlling luck, like Marvel's Domino. Next question, what movie have you seen the most times? Abby Roque, Kicking and Screaming. Jesse Diggins, I've watched the show The Vampire Diaries way too many times. And Miles Garrett, Jurassic Park. What's your favorite video game? Abby Roque, Call of Duty. Jesse Diggins, I don't play video games, to be honest. Miles Garrett, NBA Street Volume 2. Next question, what are you looking forward to in 2022? Abby Roque, the Olympics. Jesse Diggins, time on the road with my fiance and family. Miles Garrett, travel and the Super Bowl if we make it. Next question, who's the funniest athlete you know? Abby Roque, Megyn Kelly. Jesse Diggins, Simone Biles. Miles Garrett, Curtis Weaver or Sheldon Richardson. Who's your favorite athlete outside your sport? Abby Roque, Ricky Fowler. Jesse Diggins, Oksana Masters. And Miles Garrett, Muhammad Ali. And finally, last question, what's your hidden talent? Abby Roque, I can ride a unicycle. Jesse Diggins, baking cakes. Miles Garrett, I don't have any hidden talents. Everybody knows them. Future star, page 13, Josh Pearson. His hometown is Wilsonville, Oregon. His birth date is February 14, 2006. His sport, racing. Driving young is nothing new for Josh Pearson. He turned his first lap on a remote go-kart when he was 2 and won his first national title at 11. In June, Josh will set a new standard for underage driving. He'll become the youngest competitor at the oldest endurance race, the 24 Hours of Le Mans. And yes, he has his license. Not a lot of people get to race, it says Josh, who signed with United Autosports in August. It's a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. Are you a sports kid? If you think you have what it takes to be a future star, have an adult submit your nomination at sportskids@si.com. Of course, we have a picture right here in the middle of the page of Josh and one with him in action at the bottom of the page. Page 14. Sorcery. Just call him Alucard. Ferocious on the field, Miles Garrett is scary on the D&D table, too. Miles Miles Garrett was on a mission. Soon after he reported to Brown's training camp in late July, the edge rusher, displaying a level of urgency ordinarily reserved for the pursuit of doomed quarterbacks, tracked down teammate Johnny Stanton with a burning question. "Hey, so when are we going to start up again?" Garrett was referring to Dungeons and Dragons. Stanton is the reserve fullback who doubles as a dungeon master, serving up a fantasy saga of puzzles to solve, people to save, and bloodthirsty baddies to slay. The regular game he oversees includes Garrett, all-pro Browns guard, Wyatt Teller, and several friends. The group first came together in September 2020 at Stanton's behest, as the only one with any prior Dungeons and Dragons experience. The DM began by helping everyone choose characters. Prioritizing stealth over strength, Garrett built a half-elf rogue assassin named Garrett the Gray, a nod to both Gaddaf and Will the Wise. Teller, too, was inspired by J.R.R. Tolkien in creating Flapper, a lumbering half-orc Berkster barbarian with meaty hands and a habit of flying into rages during battle. This year, Garrett decided he wanted a new character. So Garrett the Gray nobly sacrificed himself to save the rest of the gang, who then picked up Garrett's new character, Alucard, a half-vampire. Garrett had no experience with D&D, but in 2020, Stanton saw him wearing a Stranger Things t-shirt at the Brown facility and summoned the courage to ask whether Garrett had ever considered playing, like the kids on the show. "I might be trying it," Garrett replied. It's since turned into a bonding experience unlike any across the NFL, even if the mere mention of the game triggers some chuckles in stodgier corners of the Browns' locker room. Says Teller, "Moments you spend together are more important than guys being like, 'Hey, what are you doing? You playing D&D? Well, it's fun. It's different, but it's a good time." So here, picture on the top right, ready to roll. At Garrett's suggestion, the D&D group dubbed itself the Heathers, and they meet regularly at the Tackle's house. Warm-up? Valentine's Day, straight from the heart. Valentine's Day is coming, and if you need a little help telling that special someone how you feel about them, we and some of your favorite athletes have you covered. "I think you're aces. Be my Tampa Bay, and one day I'll get you a ring." "Rose plays for the Rain. Their jerseys are blue. I'd be in pain if I didn't know you. Just wanted to show my affection and say, hey." "Fine. Look around. We're a slam dunk. Catch you on the flip side. For some reason, the cards on the previous page didn't melt the heart of your secret admirer. Good news. We've got more. And I think you're rad canoe." The tennis star. "Say the same about me. Let's get on the same page." Paige Becker from the UConn Huskies. "I just want to spend more time with you. You put me on cloud nine. Finally, I'm not joshing around. You're my number one target." That's from Josh Allen, quarterback of the Buffalo Bills. Records recovered. History. Josh Gibson. For many years, Gibson has been cited as the true home run king. He is believed to have hit more than 800 homers in his career. Unfortunately, records exist for only a fraction of his games, and Baseball Reference can account for only 165 long balls. Research to uncover Negro League statistics for all players is ongoing. Even with a sample of just 2,511 plate appearances, however, it's plain to see Gibson was one of the best hitters to ever play the game. He slashed 374, 458, 719 in those at-bats, including a 417, 500, 974 season in 1937 for the Homestead Grays, who played in Pittsburgh at the time. And he did all that while playing catcher. 1.474 on-base percentage, 1937. Major League Baseball now recognizes Negro League stats as Major League marks. Here are the names behind the numbers. Homestead great hero, Josh Gibson, sliding across the plate a lot. He's said to have hit more than 800 homers in his pro career. Satchel Paige, 1944 Triple Crown. As an interview subject, Paige was as memorable as Yogi Berra, but as a pitcher, he was peerless. Among his most famous witticisms, age is a case of mind over matter. If you don't mind, it don't matter. He surely didn't mind being 37 as he pitched nearly perfect for the Kansas City Monarchs in 1944. In the 14 starts accounted for, he struck out 85 batters in 87.2 innings, tossed three shutouts, and posted a .72 ERA. His run support wasn't the best. He went 6-3. But those six wins were enough to get him in the Triple Crown. Paige would pitch his final three innings in 1965 at the A's, for the A's, at age 58. Tetelo Vargas. The Negro Leagues included both black and Latino players excluded from Major League Baseball. Among the best Latino players of his era was Vargas, the Dominican Deer. Throughout the 1920s, 30s, and 40s, he played professionally in his native Dominican Republic, Puerto Rico, Venezuela, Canada, Cuba, and the United States. Once a lithe middle fielder known for his blazing speed, Vargas had moved to center field when he batted .471 for the New York Cubans in 1943. Josh Gibson was right in his on his heels with a .466 mark, but no one else came close to .400. Mule Suttles, Triple Crown, 1926. Even among black stars of his era, Suttles was unheralded in the white press, playing in the shadow of Josh Gibson. But the Alabama-born first baseman and left fielder could hit as well as anyone. His 1926 season for the St. Louis Stars is well-recorded and staggering. In 89 games, he had hit 79 extra base hits, 28 doubles, 19 triples, and 32 home runs, good for an .877 slugging percentage. Extrapolated to a 162-game season, he would have had 51 doubles, 35 triples, and 58 homers, and 27 stolen bases. After his playing career, Suttles became a well-respected manager who mentored young black players who would follow Jackie Robinson to Major League Baseball. Fast Facts. Last January, Kim returned to competition from a 22-month absence after breaking her ankle and spending a year attending Princeton. 2 months later, she won the halfpipe at the World Championships. Kim won a gold medal in the event at the 2018 Olympics, and she's favored to repeat in Beijing. Chloe Kim. Stephen Curry. Fast Facts. With a tray against the Knicks on December 14th, Curry broke the NBA career record for three-pointers. It was his 2,974th, which surpassed the mark set by Hall of Famer Ray Allen. Curry has led the league in three six times, and his three-point percentage is 43.1%. It's the seventh best in history. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.